there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
Welcome to True News. I'm Rick Wiles. Co-host Doc Burkhardt, Edward Zoll, and Fiore Hernandez and I will report and analyze today's world news. Let's start with last night's candidate forum. The NBC News forum focused on national security. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were each interviewed for 30 minutes. Mrs. Clinton appeared first. Who was the loser? If you read or listen to the establishment's old media, last night's big loser was neither Mrs. Clinton or Mr. Trump. According to old media propaganda puppets, the loser was one of their own, Matt Lauer. Mr. Lauer is the former host of NBC's Today Show. He's been an establishment news insider for decades. The political left, however, is furious with Matt Lauer today. The Washington Post called Mr. Lauer a big loser. The old, dying, ink-dependent newspaper said no one is happy with the host of the NBC Today Show. What upset the old news media? Why did the political left viciously attack Matt Lauer last night and throughout today? Well, the answer is simple. Mr. Lauer was fair. In my opinion, he did not show partiality to either candidate, nor did he hesitate to ask tough questions. That's refreshing. The establishment's propaganda pushers employed by the old decaying news outlets were not prepared for one of their own to actually act like a TV journalist. The leftist political propaganda pundits who pose as journalists have protected Mrs. Clinton from being questioned about her criminal and negligent behavior. Matt Lauer didn't follow the protocol. Therefore, the old media's propaganda pushers feel betrayed by the NBC host. They will never forgive him. He will be banned from their inner circle until he begs for forgiveness. His TV news career is over. The political left will destroy him. He will be banished to the Siberia of TV news. Let's listen to the first question from Matt Lauer and Mrs. Clinton's response.
So judgment is a key.
Temperament and judgment, yes.
The word judgment has been used a lot around you, Secretary mm-hmm. Clinton, over the last year and a half, and in particular concerning your use of your personal email mm-hmm. and server to communicate while you were Secretary of State. You've said it's a mistake. Mm-hmm. You said you made not the best choice. Mm-hmm. You were communicating on highly sensitive topics. Why wasn't it more than a mistake? Why wasn't it disqualifying if you want to be Commander-in-Chief?
Well, Matt, first of all, as I have said repeatedly, it was a mistake to have a personal account. I would certainly not do it again. I make no excuses for it. It was something that should not have been done. But the real question is the handling of classified material, which is, I think, what the implication of your question was. And for all the viewers watching you tonight, I have a lot of experience dealing with classified material, starting when I was on the Senate Armed Services Committee, going into the 4 years as Secretary of State. Classified material has a header which says top secret, secret, confidential. Nothing. And I will repeat this, and this is verified in the report by the Department of Justice. None of the emails sent or received by me had such a header.
Well, we all know that's a lie. Even the FBI director who protected her told us it was a lie.
Yes.
Doc Burkhardt's here, Edward Zoll, Fiore Hernandez. Mrs. Clinton continues to lie about the email. scandal.
And I agree with her. She's handled classified information for a long time. She knows how it works.
And she didn't know what the C meant beside documents. That's what she said. That's what she told the FBI.
That's what she said.
The documents that had a C next to the beginning paragraph, she didn't know what that meant. If you don't know what that means, Mrs. Clinton, why would we want you in the White House if you're that dumb and uneducated? I mean, Mrs. Clinton plays it both ways. I'm very smart. I'm the smartest person running, but I don't know what a C meant.
Well, I'm not sure if I know what the honorable in front of honorable Hillary Clinton means either.
Well, it's obviously, it's just politeness. It doesn't refer to her character. The email scandal has been in the news for years. Why would the Clinton campaign and the political left think that it would not be brought up in a question and answer forum on a national TV program?
I mean, they had to assume that that was coming up. They weren't blindsided by it at all, unless they were expecting more Labor Day questions.
Doc, I think the Clinton campaign is so arrogant that they believe and trust that the establishment news media is so tamed and docile that nobody would dare ask the obvious. And so they were shocked that Matt Lauer brought it up. And the establishment news media has gone after him today. The Washington Post, the Huffington Post, New York Times, they're just ripping this guy apart. CNN, they're tearing him up. He did a horrible job. Why did they choose Matt Lauer? He's an NBC Today host. What does that have to do with national security? I mean, he was just the host of one of the most watched television news programs in history.
Well, isn't that the tactic of the left, though, diversion?
And they
didn't
smear.
They didn't go after Ms. Clinton on her answers, but rather they go after the guy asking the question.
That's right.
It's right. Clinton playbook.
That's right. Exactly how they operate. Unwilling to let Hillary Clinton off the hot seat, Mr. Lauer proceeded to question her about whether her unsecured email server contain classified information about drone attacks. This is what Mrs. Clinton said.
Were some of the emails sent or received by you referring to our drone program, our covert drone program?
Yes, because, of course, there were no discussions of any of the covert actions in process being determined about whether or not to go forward. But every part of our government had to deal with questions, and the Secretary of State's office was first and foremost. So there are ways of talking about the drone program.
And you said your communications on that were fairly routine.
Well, let me say, the FBI just released their report about their investigation. They discussed drone matters in the unclassified section of their report.
What do you make of somebody running for president of the United States who has to explain on national television why she was emailing documents about top secret drone attacks?
I would call it 2016 election cycle. I mean, this is outrageous.
But she ought to be laughed off the stage, Doc. This woman should be laughed off the stage.
But the FBI said I did nothing wrong.
They ought to be throwing tomatoes at her.
That's not what they said.
Honestly, in a normal time, people would be throwing tomatoes and cabbages at her, at somebody like this. They would be booing, saying, get off the stage, you freak. What are you talking about? Leave. You're a liar. And yet she just sits there. And I mean, here's a presidential candidate who was the target of an FBI criminal investigation on violating national security laws. And she only survived it because the FBI director was ordered by somebody to keep her out of handcuffs.
Right.
That's the only way she survived it. And she's sitting on TV almost bragging that she survived an FBI investigation.
It's a badge of honor, right?
Let's just say the allegations of her stating that she didn't know what the letter C meant. Let's just say even that was correct. Let's just say that. My basic question, and I know it's going to be basic, but it's, okay, wouldn't you just ask if you don't know something, wouldn't you ask? And also, there is a letter C in covert. Did you know that? Did you know what covert meant?
He's probably complaining somebody's marking up all these emails. What are all these letters and stuff on here?
Yeah, I mean, if you were receiving documents on your desk that come in these special binders that say top secret, confidential, classified, and then the actual document starts with a letter C, and you notice the pattern that the documents that come in these folders marked top secret, classified, confidential.
Wouldn't you ask?
You would say, hey, what does that C mean?
I would ask.
Of course she knew.
I'm not running for president.
But she knew. She knew what it meant. But you know what? Hillary opted out of going to the State Department educational briefing when she became Secretary of State, where they would explain all these things.
Yes.
She opted out and did not attend.
Every State Department employee went through that. And you notice how they buried that story last week, where they said, well, we don't have an official recognition that she attended, but everybody does, so she must have.
No, Hillary made sure she didn't go, because that way you couldn't get an indictment on her that she knowingly violated the law.
Doesn't that also opt her out of using that record and that history of public service as part of her campaign platform? I mean,
oh, young Edward, you're so naive.
Explain it. Go ahead. Keep talking.
Well, the premise there is she keeps saying that she's the experienced candidate. She's the one that has been in the White House in various positions, and again, has been the first lady. She is the experienced foreign policy expert that's going to just drive America through these conflicts. Well, again, she is admitting, and this is the route she's had to take. She's admitting she doesn't know what the C for classified means. You want this person in charge of the nuclear codes for our country? Just know what the red button probably is going to mean, right?
Well, when Bubba Clinton was in the White House, he lost the launch codes.
Yeah, I remember that story.
They don't know how many weeks or months went by that Bill Clinton did not have the launch codes with him for the nuclear weapons. They don't know where he lost them. They don't know who had them. For all we know, Bill sold them.
Or Monica Lewinsky took them away.
Or Monica Lewinsky took them and she gave them to her handlers. But this is typical of the Clintons. And they've been getting away with these crimes for decades. And they continue to get away with it. But last night, at least she had to answer some questions in front of a national television audience. Matt Lauer also brought up the FBI inquiry and statements made by the FBI Director James Comey.
But Director Comey also said this after reviewing all the information. He said there is evidence to support a conclusion that any reasonable person in Secretary Clinton's position should have known that an unclassified system was no place for that conversation.
Well, Matt, I just respectfully point to the hundreds of experienced foreign policy experts, diplomats, defense officials who were communicating information on the unclassified system because it was necessary to answer questions and to be able publicly to go as far as we could, which was not acknowledging the program. But I would be in Pakistan, as I was on several occasions. There might very well have been a strike. I would be asked in a public setting, in an interview, about it. It was known to have happened. We had to have an answer that did not move into classified area, and I think we handled that appropriately.
You mentioned your...
What kind of person in the office of Secretary of State of the United States of America would have to be told that you have to protect the information that has been given to you? Just think about it. What kind of person would have to be told? I mean, is this Donald Duck, Goofy, Mickey Mouse? Who is in this position? We're talking about a woman who was married to the President of the United States, and she has to be instructed. Hey, you just can't email this stuff out to anybody. You would think that an intelligent, informed person who loves his or her country would automatically think, I have to be very careful about where this information is stored and transferred.
Well, it's someone who's up for the highest bidder. That's the kind of person you need to tell. It's someone who has a record of being very distrustful and borderline, if not criminal, in her actions.
I mean, that's the bottom line, Doc.
I mean, she didn't want to be Secretary of State anyway.
She wanted to be president.
That's right.
And the Bilderberg Group told her that you're only going to be Secretary of State.
So enjoy it while you're there.
And you'll have your chance to run in 8 years. And I'm referring to the Bilderberg meeting that took place in the summer of 2008. I think it was around June,
mm-hmm.
when Senator Clinton and Senator Obama
both attended that meeting.
Were battling it out in the primaries. Nobody thought that Barack Obama was going to defeat Hillary Clinton. And then suddenly both of them took a break from the campaign and they both went to Northern Virginia for like 3 days. And it just happened to be the days that the Bilderberg Group was meeting near Chantilly, Virginia, there by Dulles Airport. And shortly afterwards, Hillary Clinton dropped out of the race and endorsed Barack Obama. She was told, you're not going to be the president in 2008. You're right, Doc. She didn't want to be Secretary of State. It was the best job that she could get at the time. But being a Clinton, they made money at it.
Yeah.
Bubba Clinton set up the foundation, and baby, they went to town. They made the cash register ring. Because Bubba Clinton was out there shaking hands in Saudi Arabia and all over the Middle East, United Arab Emirates, and bringing home the bacon. And all he had to do was call his sweet wife in the State Department and say, dear honey, could you make this happen? I've got a check for $5 million here. We need this to happen. That's the way they did business. He ought to be in prison.
That's it in a nutshell, right?
Selling
there.
Influence. Peddling influence. They ought to be in prison for peddling influence. But they don't go to prison for anything. One more. Here's another Hillary Clinton response regarding her hacked emails.
Handle that appropriately.
You mentioned you're in Pakistan. Some of the emails you sent and received happened while you were overseas. And Director Comey also said that while they have no proof, we assess that it is possible that hostile actors gained access to Secretary Clinton's personal email accounts.
Matt, there is no evidence. Of course, anything is possible. But what is factual is the State Department system was hacked. Most of the government systems are way behind the curve. We've had hacking repeatedly, even in the White House. There is no evidence my system was hacked.
My system.
Her system. She owns it, doesn't she?
My system.
Why was she allowed to have a private email server? Just why?
Yes.
I want to know why somebody at the NSA, why somebody in the Inspector General Office of the State Department, why didn't somebody in the FBI say to Mrs. Clinton, you can't have a private email server. You don't have. We noticed here you don't have an email account at the State Department. We've noticed there's no emails going through the system from you. How are you communicating with people? And they would have found out she has a private email account. Why didn't somebody say to her, you can't do this?
Well, let's bring it into the real world. If I came to you one day or one of our office staff came to you and said, you know what? I don't think Doc is getting email here at the office. And you come to me and say, hey, Doc, what's going on? I said, oh, well, Pastor Rick, I hope you don't mind. I've set up a private server at my house, sitting in my garage there.
Which you can't access.
And I'm copying all the communications that I've had since I've been working here. It's on my private server. In the garage of my house.
And you have all of our private confidential documents
right
stored on your personal server
for safekeeping.
Right.
So, I hope you don't mind. And what you would
also,
and you would also say,
and by the way, Rick, even though you're my employer, you have no access to my server.
Because it's my server.
My server, right.
Now, what would your response be?
My response would be, Doc, you have about 30 seconds to shut it down, or I'm going to shut you down. Now, that would have been my response. Barack Obama knew about the private email server because they found at least 19 emails from Barack Obama to Hillary Clinton at Clinton email.
Right.
He admitted that in an interview to CBS. He admitted that, well, yes, we were communicating, but, you know, it wasn't the most preferred route of communication.
So you have to wonder how many other private email accounts are still operating in the Clinton in the Obama administration.
Well, you know, and even continuing our scenario a step further, you could actually have me prosecuted.
Yes.
Or, you know, having corporate secrets.
That's right.
You know, and, you know, maintaining my own information on the company outside of our confidentiality agreements and stuff.
Okay, in the corporate world, they passed the Sarbanes-Oxley law.
Oh, yes, that's what I was thinking of. So,
which requires corporations to maintain all email correspondence
right.
for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
So if a corporate employee had a private email server and was doing corporate communications on a private email server, that would be in violation of the federal Sarbanes-Oxley law. And the regulators would not only put that employee in prison, but put the CEO in prison for allowing it to happen.
Right, if they were aware of it, sure. And so,
why would an employee, as an employee, from an employee's perspective, why would I want to do that? Well, unless I had a reason to do that.
And what would be the reason, Fior?
Well, clearly it wouldn't be a good reason.
It would be a criminal intent.
I wouldn't need to hide it, anything from you.
It would be a criminal intent.
That's right. That I'm gaining information that I can use in another as a competitor or something like that, you know, outside of the company. And, you know, I should be thrown in jail.
Well, the reality is that we have people like Vince Foster, Seth Rich, and others that have had run-ins with the Clintons and then met untimely ends. So maybe that's what intimidated these employees from not coming out.
And on that subject, and Matt Lauer needs to be very careful.
Yes.
The Clintons will get even. They will get revenge on Matt Lauer. I don't know what they'll do to him. But I promise you, the Clintons will get revenge on Matt Lauer. It may be just destruction of his career. It may be even worse, but they will get even. You do not mess with the Clintons and get away with it. Something bad will happen to Matt Lauer when he least expects it. They will get revenge. Also, I noticed Hillary said that there is no evidence that her private email server was hacked by foreign powers. Yet, she's going around the country saying she knows for certain
that the Russians
are hacking the Democratic National Committee computers. She knows it for certain. But so, in other words, in Hillary's world, Vladimir Putin wants the emails from the Democratic National Committee, but he could care less about the top secret classified documents at the U.S. State Department.
And that somehow the Russians can hack into a corporate computer system at the DNC, but not a private home server sitting up in New York.
In her bathroom.
Right. It just frustrates you so much.
I find it...
The rules don't apply.
Doc, you know what? It's hard enough for me to comprehend that somebody like Hillary Clinton continues to lie and just stand in front of the whole world and lie. But what is even more astounding is that there are millions of people that continue to support her.
Right.
That's the part I don't get.
And just love her to death.
I don't get it. There was a military veteran who asked Hillary Clinton a very tough question. Again, I was surprised that this got out on NBC News last night. This is what it sounded like.
Let us bring in Hallie Jackson of NBC News, who's been covering this campaign. She's getting questions from our veterans. Hallie, who are you with?
Hi, Matt. I'm with Lieutenant John Lester, who will stand
Let
with me
stand
here.
Up here.
He began his military career by enlisting in the Air Force and then switched over to the Navy before he retired, where he flew P-3 Orions in Desert Storm and in Desert Shield. He's a Republican, and he has this question for you, Secretary Clinton.
Thank you.
Secretary Clinton, thank you very much for coming tonight. As a naval flight officer, I held a top secret sensitive compartmentalized information clearance, and that provided me access to materials and information highly sensitive to our warfighting capabilities. Had I communicated this information not following prescribed protocols, I would have been prosecuted and imprisoned. Secretary Clinton, how can you expect those such as myself who were and are entrusted with America's most sensitive information to have any confidence in your leadership as president when you clearly corrupted our national security?
Well, I appreciate your concern and also your experience, but let me try to make the distinctions that I think are important for me to answer your question. First, as I said to Matt, you know and I know, classified material is designated, it is marked, there is a header so that there is no dispute at all that what is being communicated to or from someone who has that access is marked classified. And what we have here is the use of an unclassified system by hundreds of people in our government to send information that was not marked. There were no headers. There was no statement, top secret, secret, or confidential. I communicated about classified material on a wholly separate system. I took it very seriously. When I traveled, I went into one of those little tents that I'm sure you've seen around the world, because we didn't want there to be any potential for someone to have embedded a camera to try to see whatever it is that I was seeing that was designated, marked, and headed as classified.
Let us
so move. I did exactly what I should have done, and I take it very seriously. Always have, always will.
Was she going to those tents to avoid sniper fire, I wonder?
I think probably to pick up a bag of cash. Nobody would photograph the transaction. You know, she said earlier in the evening regarding the emails that she had made mistakes in the handling of emails. That was her first admission. She said, I made mistakes. Then another person asked her about her vote as a U.S. senator to commit America to war in Iraq. And this is what she said.
Secretary Clinton, let's talk about your vote in favor of the war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
You since said it was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it was not something you said you would do again. I asked before for people to raise their hand if you served in Iraq. Can you do it again?
Mm-hmm.
How do you think these people feel when the person running to be their commander-in-chief says her vote to go to war in Iraq was a mistake?
Look, I think that the decision to go to war in Iraq was a mistake. And I have said that my voting to give President Bush that authority was, from my perspective, my mistake. I also believe that it is imperative that we learn from the mistakes, like after action reports are supposed to do. And so we must learn what led us down that path so that it never happens again. I think I'm in the best possible position to be able to understand that and prevent it. But I will say this. I'm asking to be judged on the totality of my record.
I agree with Hillary. We need to judge her on the totality of her record. Hillary Clinton had a bad night last night.
She did.
She was damaged. She did not perform well. She was on the defense throughout the evening. She acknowledged numerous mistakes. That did not look well.
No.
Didn't sound well for Hillary Clinton last night. Quite frankly, I was surprised. I thought it's going to be another masterful performance by the queen of deception. I really thought she's going to come out here. Matt Lauer is going to give her softball questions. This is going to be a disgusting performance of lies and deception. But it didn't turn out that way. She was questioned, and she was put on the hot seat, and she did not do well. I'm surprised she didn't have a coughing fit. I wonder how many injections her doctor gave her. But she did not have a good night last night.
So she didn't have a good night. So that means that the mainstream media really picked on her and really went after her today, right?
No, they went after Matt Lauer.
Right. That's just the thing.
He made her look bad by being a journalist. He's the bad guy today. He dared to ask Hillary Clinton tough questions that they refused to question her for years.
And it's earned him the nickname of the Donald Trump of debate moderators.
Is that what they're calling him?
That's what his peers, the ones that used to be his friends, are now calling him.
Oh, he won't be invited to any parties.
Well, that's awful.
He won't. Fior, you're a longtime TV journalist, and you work for a television network. Tell us, is there a liberal bias in the national television news industry?
I believe that sometimes there is, depending on the topic and depending on the newsroom and the culture of that particular network. I certainly have not been at the level of Matt Lauer, as some may consider a very high level in media in this country. However, I will say that, yes, I have to say that that is true. Sometimes even the angle is fed to you from the beginning. And if you don't agree, you sort of have to figure it out, how will I modify what I believe in, or will I compromise my morals or what I believe or my convictions to write my story?
I'm not going to ask you to name names and reveal the identities of former employer and employees, but what was the issue that caused you the most grief in your former employment as a news anchor woman? Was it a social issue?
I had a couple of different incidents, but I would say that the most recent was when the same-sex marriage was approved. Although I've never been vocal about that, again, as a journalist, remained neutral and did my job. But I believe that after covering that story that day and believing that I had to be neutral.
When the Supreme Court issued the decision.
Yes, the decision. And so I was assigned the story, but I wanted to be neutral. I wanted to include all
sides.
Are you
saying you got in trouble for being neutral?
It was uncomfortable.
They were your former employer was upset with you for being neutral, which is another way of saying fair.
Action was not taken against me, to be truthful. However, it became a little uncomfortable. It wasn't the great story day. And then the next day and the next day, it started to become a pattern of maybe pushing those kinds of stories my way.
So your former employer wanted to push the LGBT agenda, and you didn't do it aggressively the way that they want it.
I believe I did the story aggressively, just not in the angle that they would have preferred.
Well, we're glad yours here.
Amen.
We're glad the Lord brought her to True News.
And our audience is happy for that, too. We've gotten some great responses this week.
Oh, I know.
Thank you.
So. I know. Well, Donald Trump, one more Hillary Clinton. This is a classic line.
Yes.
About Libya. Here's Hillary.
With respect to Libya, again, there's no difference between my opponent and myself. He's on record extensively supporting intervention in Libya when Gaddafi was threatening to massacre his population. I put together a coalition that included NATO, included the Arab League, and we were able to save lives. We did not lose a single American in that action. And I think taking that action was the right decision.
We didn't lose any Americans in Libya, Doc.
We didn't?
According to Hillary, apparently 4 Americans didn't die in Benghazi.
Then where are they?
Well, obviously, in Hillary's world, they don't exist because she just made them evaporate from her memory. She's went on national television last night and lied again and said, we didn't lose any Americans in Libya.
How does she get a pass?
That's the question. Matt Lauer is being vilified for daring to ask her a few questions. And Hillary gets away with these kind of statements. Listen, let's take a short break. And when we come back, I'm going to show you how True News accurately predicted what the Clinton campaign would do against Donald Trump. We made this prediction on August 26th, and it came true last night on the NBC Candidates Forum. We're going to tell you about it when we come back after this break.
You're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast. Rick will return after this announcement.
This is Max McLean. In the midst of tribulation, where can we find strength to carry on? Listen to the Bible from James 1. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. From James 1. Listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
The Listener's Bible may be a great way to help you devote more time in God's Word. Now you can download the Bible directly to your computer. To hear more, go to radiobible.org.
Reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ, you're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast.
Welcome back to True News. I'm Rick Wiles. Doc Burkhardt, Edward Zoll, and Fior Hernandez are here with me. We're discussing last night's NBC Candidates Forum. And in the first half of the program, we heard sound bites involving Hillary Clinton. And in this next segment, we're going to listen to some sound bites from Donald Trump's answers to questions. And we're also going to tell you about something that happened during a break. Last night on the NBC Candidates Forum, we predicted it last month. We didn't know it was going to happen last night, but we should have known, Doc.
Yeah.
We really should have known. I guess we didn't think that they would actually do it to the very date, but we're going to talk about it in just a few minutes. Donald Trump made some very strong comments about the Obama Hillary Clinton, John Kerry foreign policy. This is what he said.
88 generals and admirals endorsed me today.
It's a number.
And these are
Hillary Clinton claims more
really.
Numbers.
Numbers. People that have been losing for us for a long period of time. I mean, the fact is, we have had the worst, and you could even say the dumbest, foreign policy. Our results are so bad. We would have been better off had we never, ever spent $2 in
you
that part
recently,
of the world.
Does that really dumb foreign policy include taking $1.7 billion in cash to Tehran?
Exactly what they did, too. I mean, in cash, not a check, in cash.
I mean, Hillary wasn't even asked last night whether she supported the cash transfer to Tehran. She got off easy.
Yeah, I would have asked that question. That one bothers me a lot.
I think a core part of this is these generals and a lot of these military leaders that are being discussed here, you know, they're part of the new generation. Because we know, we've covered it here, that there was a huge purge in the armed forces and in the Pentagon and a lot of the staff that would speak out against this. I think, to a certain extent, I'm numb to this kind of stuff at this point. Everything that comes out of her mouth is just a lie to me. And I know that Donald Trump at this part is at least attempting to do something for some veterans. But we spoke about this earlier, how what I even just said there. People aren't basing decisions on facts anymore.
Feelings.
I said I felt.
Yes.
It's a thing about millennials now.
Yes. Feelings. People are making decisions based on feelings, not facts and not morality. Then people used to make decisions based on facts and on what was morally right or wrong.
Yes.
Now they make decisions based on feelings. How does that make you feel? How did you feel when that happened? How would you feel about this? Who cares about your feelings? I want to know what's right and wrong.
What's the truth?
And what is the truth? But see, this is situational ethics. This is the socialistic mindset, the new culture that's been created by public education and
media.
And the media and the entertainment world. And so now we have tens of millions of people who make decisions based on their feelings. They've changed the way, they've literally rewired human brains. Think about this. They've rewired human brains. And I think it was done with the help of the RAND Corporation. Decades ago, I believe the RAND Corporation laid this plan out and said, we're going to rewire human brains. We're going to change the way people process information and the way that they arrive at conclusions. It will no longer be based on morality. It will be based on feelings.
Right. Because we can manipulate feelings.
That's right. Morality is either, it's either right or wrong. Facts are facts.
Yeah.
But feelings are whatever you tell somebody.
And it should be. And isn't that the theme of so many people today in this election? No matter what Hillary Clinton says or does, they feel bad about Trump because of how they make him, how they feel about him.
That's right.
It's a crazy day, crazy day.
Barack Obama did not like Donald Trump attacking his foreign policy last night as being dumb. And so the great one, the all-knowing one, Barack Hussein Obama, came out today swinging against Donald Trump. This is what he said.
As far as Mr. Trump, I think I've already offered my opinion. I don't think the guy's qualified to be president of the United States. And every time he speaks, that opinion is confirmed. And I think the most important thing for the public and the press is to just listen to what he says and follow up and ask questions about what appear to be either contradictory or uninformed or outright wacky ideas.
Now, this is coming from a guy that could not produce his identity documents.
Right. Well, yeah.
That's wacky. That's just wacky conspiracy.
Yeah. And Pastor Rick, here is a sitting president of the United States really inserting himself in the campaign to follow after him. You know, we have disagreements with President Bush, you know, senior and junior. Can you ever imagine either one of them doing something like this? I've offered my opinion, but I'm going to give it again here because I'm going to continue to influence this election. I mean, just
no matter who wins in November, assuming that we have an election, because that still could be stopped.
Long time till November.
And we don't know if they have an election, if they're going to try to nullify the election. You know, since we've started talking about it, Doc, a lot of other people are now parroting what we have been saying on this program, is that they're going to blame the Russians for Trump's victory. And then they will say we have to nullify the election because Putin hacked into the voting machines. And
because there's no way Trump could have won.
We all know nobody wanted Trump, and Hillary was going to win in a landslide, and now Trump won, and this has to be the result of Putin hacking the voting machines. And so we're going to have to stop Trump from being sworn in. We're going to have another election. But I, you know, assuming that we have a normal election and a normal transfer of power, and Barack Hussein Obama leaves the White House on the afternoon of January 20th, like a normal person, he's not going to go away.
No.
He's not even leaving Washington, D.C. He's just moving down the street near the mosque.
Yes.
And he is going to be the president in exile, the shadow president. Every day he's going to have a comment. Every day he's going to issue statements. He's going to hold press conferences. He's going to meet with foreign leaders. He's going to organize street protests, and he's going to lobby the Senate and the House. He's going to threaten people every day. Well, every day that he's not golfing.
Under a Trump presidency, he'll probably also face daily the same shunning he received at the G20, the same shaming he received from the press, the international world leaders.
Leaders. No, but not by the American leaders.
No, he'll be the new royalty.
Mm-hmm. The rest of the world will laugh at him. They'll laugh at him, but there'll still be tens of millions of people in the USA to follow him, and especially the news media and the political left. And even if Hillary is the president, he will haunt her. He will be her worst nightmare. He will haunt her.
He'll always be there at the shadow. Yep. Oh, man.
Before Obama left Asia, he was in China over the weekend for the G20. Before he left Asia, he spoke to a group of Asian students. Obama never misses an opportunity to badmouth America, to degrade the country, to shame this country, to blame us for things. He never misses an opportunity. And he did it again. We found this soundbite today of Obama speaking to Asian students. Does anybody know what country? I don't have my notes.
I think it was in Laos today.
When this took place in Laos?
I think so.
That's where it was at? Yesterday. Okay, it's yesterday, so he's on his way back. All right, this is what he told the students.
The challenge we have, because we are people from so many different places, is that sometimes, we've had to deal with racism or conflict between races, ethnic groups, new immigrants, and that especially becomes a problem when the economy is not doing well, and so people feel stressed. And typically when people feel stressed, they turn on others who don't look like them. It's easy. That's true everywhere in the world. You know, when things are going good, everybody's okay. And then when suddenly things are harder, people start saying, you know what, this is the fault of the Chinese, or this is the fault of the Jews, or this is the fault of the, Houthi, or whatever, the Javanese, or the, so one of the things that we try to do is to make sure that we're continually reminding ourselves that what makes an American is not your race or your skin color, but what makes an American is a set of beliefs, a creed, our belief that all men are created equal, our belief that our Constitution is the law of the land and that everybody has to follow it and everybody is equal before the law. I believe that the United States is and can be a great force for good in the world. But because we're such a big country, we haven't always had to know about other parts of the world. If you are in Laos, you need to know about Thailand and China and Cambodia because you're a small country and they're right next door and you need to know who they are. If you're in the United States, sometimes you can feel lazy and think, we're so big, we don't have to really know anything about other people. And that's part of what I'm trying to change, because this is actually the region that's going to grow faster than any place else in the world.
I will be so glad when that clown is gone.
Yeah, I don't like being talked down to by a college professor. I really don't.
I honestly, Doc, I can't wait until this guy is gone. But like I said, he's not going to go away. He's going to live on and on and on. I mean, 20 years from now, we're still going to be dealing with Barack Hussein Obama.
And here's what I heard in that. I heard that we're lazy, we're racist, We're dumb. We're stupid. We need to be trained.
Too big.
Yeah, we're too big. We have too much. Those are the messages I heard him telling other nations about us. I mean, come on, sell America, why don't you? But no. And when he said that the Constitution is the law of the land.
For who? For him?
Well, as a constitutional professor at a college, he taught that the Constitution is a living document.
That's right.
Well, how dare he make a speech like this in a nation that only recently, I would say only 10 to 20 years ago, actually agreed to give back some POWs we had in their country from the Vietnam War. How dare he sip coconuts and carry on a Louis Vuitton bag on the streets of Laos while we have issues here in the United States that he, again, whether it be golfing or traveling around the world on American taxpayers' dime, has decided to selectively ignore.
Oh, by the way, he said yesterday while he was sipping that coconut that one thing he's looking forward to when he leaves the White House is that he'll be able to travel.
We can't make this up. And you cannot play, make
and,
this up.
And I guess play golf, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hillary said, what would
Reagan
say?
The best courses in the world, then.
Hillary was trying to run this thing. What would Reagan say? Well, you know what? He'd be calling for a new McCarthyism at this point.
Obama just said that the Constitution of the United States is the law of the land. Everybody must obey it. And yet, last week, he signed a climate treaty with the Chinese without submitting it to the U.S. Senate, according to the Constitution. And I read today he's getting ready to sign a disarmament treaty without submitting it to the Senate.
Why not?
But he's going to tell us that everybody has to obey the Constitution. Everybody but Barack Hussein Obama. Hey, on August 26th, True News revealed the Clinton campaign playbook. And guys, I mean, we hit this thing on the head. It was right. We said that the Clinton campaign is running a repeat of the 1964 Lyndon Johnson campaign against Barry Goldwater. That they were using the very same terminology, that they were calling, as LBJ implied, that Goldwater was a racist supported by white supremacists, that he was a dangerous man. The Clinton campaign was using the same words, the same terminology. And then we even discovered that the people who created the Lyndon Johnson campaign strategy were advising Hillary Clinton today.
Yeah.
And so what we said on that August 26th program, we said we predict that the Clinton campaign will roll out the Daisy ad against Donald Trump.
Now, for our listeners that are kind of new, maybe even over the past couple of weeks, what is the Daisy ad?
It was and still is today the most devastating political advertisement ever aired in the United States of America. The Johnson campaign, 1964, wanted to scare the American people about Barry Goldwater. Barry Goldwater was the Donald Trump of 64.
Right.
Now, he didn't have Trump's money, and he didn't have Trump's fame, but he was totally outside of the political establishment, and he threatened the entire establishment on both the Republican and Democratic side. He ran against the Rockefeller Republicans. In fact, he beat Nelson Rockefeller in the 1964 Republican primaries, which was, you know, a spectacular event. It was a populist uprising in America.
Right.
And Barry Goldwater was campaigning on a hardcore limited government return to the Constitution platform. Well, the establishment united, Republican and Democrat, united against Barry Goldwater, just like they're uniting against Trump. And Republicans and Democrat establishment people worked for Lyndon Johnson. But the knockout punch in the 64 campaign was this Daisy ad in which a little girl was sitting in a field of daisies, and behind her on the horizon was a nuclear bomb mushroom cloud. Now, we're going to play a soundbite from the August 26th edition of True News. This is what we said last month.
Graph
we
paper
ought to
and
just
everything.
Turn the yellow dog-eared pages and see what's coming next. I know where this is going. I can assure you what ad Hillary Clinton is going to air in October. I can tell you right now what it's going to be. It's going to be the Daisy ad.
All right, now, for our audience, we've got a whole bunch of different people out there. What is the Daisy ad?
The Daisy ad was the most powerful political propaganda advertisement ever produced and broadcast in the United States of America. It destroyed the Barry Goldwater campaign. It terrified the American people. This ad was filmed and produced in such a powerful way that when you saw it, you had one conclusion. Barry Goldwater in the White House will start a nuclear war. We cannot allow that man in the White House. We must keep Lyndon Johnson. Now, here's the thing, Doc. As I said earlier about the Johnson-Kennedy years, even the Democrats did not like Lyndon Johnson. In fact, a lot of them hated him.
Yes.
Because he was against the Kennedys.
Right. They thought of him as a usurper in many ways, didn't they?
Some of them, as I said, even thought he may have been involved in the assassination.
Right.
But he was seen as a Dixiecrat, a Southerner that was against the mainstream Democratic Party in the North and the East, and they absolutely did not want him. But Johnson was so shrewd that his campaign advisors basically said to him, LBJ, the facts are this. The people don't like you, but we have to make the people fear Barry Goldwater more than they dislike you.
Right. You got baggage, but
we've got to make Goldwater scary. Now, this is what the advisors are saying to Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. Hillary, we're going to be honest with you. People don't like you. They don't trust you. They think you're a crook. The only way you can win this campaign is to scare people. You've got to make people afraid of Donald Trump. They don't like you, but we have got to make the fear of Trump greater than the hate of you.
Yes.
That's the strategy. So this Daisy ad was this powerful political propaganda ad that showed a little girl picking daisies and a nuclear mushroom cloud appears.
And was this used a lot during the campaign?
One time.
Just once?
It took Goldwater to the mat, and Goldwater never got up. The referee counted to 10. He was out. It was a knockout. It was so powerful. Nobody had ever seen a political ad with that much power. It devastated the Goldwater campaign. He never recovered. And he lost in a landslide. Johnson won a landslide on this ad. Here it is, the Daisy ad.
One, two, three, four, five, seven, six, eight, nine.
These are the stakes. To make a world in which all of God's children can live, or to go into the dark. We must either love each other, or we must die.
Vote for President Johnson on November 3rd.
Now, Pastor Rick, this aired just one time. It aired the night of September 7th, 1964. It aired on the NBC television network during the TV movie David and Bathsheba. This was their big fall season opener movie, so it was expected to have a large audience.
Probably had the largest audience of any show that night.
Right. So, and it aired that night, September 7th, 1964, on the NBC television network.
Why are we talking about it today, Doc?
Because yesterday was September 7th, 2016, and on the NBC television network, the LBJ playbook was opened back up, and the 2016 version of the Daisy ad against Donald Trump was released.
And they aired it last night in the break?
Between the forum, between the Hillary forum and the Trump forum, right in the break at 8:31 p.m. last night, September 7th. I mean, just the arrogance of doing it the same night, the same date, the same network. And I haven't been able to confirm, but I would bet even the same time.
That would be interesting to find out, you know, because last month I said they'll do this in October. And we didn't think that they were slimy enough to do it on the anniversary of September 7th. And last night, the airing of it was in the middle of a discussion about national security and foreign policy. First of all, NBC should never have allowed any political advertisements in that program. That is wrong. Right? Yeah. That was wrong. I don't care. They should not have run a pro-Trump ad.
Nothing.
An anti-Hillary ad. Nothing. That was a political candidate's forum, and there should have been no advertising in that program.
They can't be trusted. They cannot be trusted to do this properly.
So in that case, NBC knowingly aired a anti-Trump TV commercial.
Along the same themes.
Of the program, and 1 minute before Trump was introduced to the nation.
Right.
Right? That's what they did.
That's exactly right.
Are we the only people talking about this today?
The only one that I've heard so far.
All right, so what was the ad? What was the 2016 Hillary Clinton version of the 64 Daisy ad? What did they say?
It was called the I Love War advertisement. And what it essentially highlighted was a clip, a segment where Donald Trump said, I love war. They then decided to throw in imagery of Al-Qaeda, nuclear bombs going off in the background, and Trump basically showing disorder on the streets of America in lieu of him taking over president.
And they also had embedded in that commercial the classic clip of the nuclear bomb going off and the wave knocking all those buildings down and everything. You know, the one that people have been primed about for about 70 years now, it seems like, to constantly think, well, this is what a nuclear bomb does and destroys.
All right, do we have the audio of the Clinton Daisy ad?
We do.
I'm really good at war. I love war in a certain way. Including with nukes. Yes, including with nukes. I know more about ISIS than the generals do, believe me.
Nuclear is just the power, the devastation is very important to me.
I want to be unpredictable, 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 unpredictable.
Priorities USA Action is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Who paid for this commercial last night?
A super PAC, an anti-Trump, pro-Hillary super PAC called Priorities USA.
What is it called?
Priorities Action USA.
Priority Action?
Priorities Action USA.
Priorities Action USA super PAC. Who are the donors to this super PAC?
Well, pulling the FEC filing for this group, the top donor I was able to find is Donald Sussman, the president of Paloma Partners Advisors, Inc. The second highest notable in the group is the Soros family. George Soros and his son donated a combination of $8 million to this foundation.
So this ad was paid for with Soros money last night.
Yes.
And it cost to air. They have a plan to actually air it in many of the battleground states across the country tomorrow. It begins airing. But the total cost was $5 million. And we're playing on NBC stations in Florida, Ohio, North Carolina, Colorado, Iowa, and Nevada.
The big states that are up for grabs.
But, Pastor, when we learned this information today, And when we heard that they had actually done a Daisy ad last night,
September 7th, the anniversary.
I mean, just the arrogance made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. But they they know what they're doing.
And yes, but Doc, there's something better here. We know what they're doing.
Yes, that's right.
The Holy Spirit told us a month ago.
Yes.
They're going to do this. The Holy Spirit told us on August 26th, they are copying the LBJ campaign against Barry Goldwater. They're going to use the same tactics. They're even going to use the same commercial. We brought it out and released it to the public, and people were tipped off that this is what Clinton was going to do, and now we've been proven right.
In fact, when we released that story that day, that very night, NBC
stole
the title
of our story
and used content
word for word, took our headline.
It was just, I mean, we were really onto something. The Holy Spirit really
did
work.
It's the Holy Spirit that is revealing these things to us so that we can reveal it to the body of Christ and that God's people would be alert, walking in light and not in darkness, and not being caught off guard by these tactics.
Folks, that's why you have to partner with us here at True News. I mean, you have to. You have to be a part of this. You have to. I mean, this alone, the excitement with this, not in a, you know, oh, look what we caught, but in the revelation that the Lord is working through this ministry to bring enlightenment to the body of Christ, to giving us a warning of what's to come. I mean,
and Doc, our audience, we, you know, all I can do is tease you. I can't give you details in advance simply because it's just not smart in today's world to talk too openly about our plans. But we are working on some very exciting plans for an all-new expanded version of True News. That's why Fiora Hernandez is here.
Right.
We are expanding, and the Lord is enlarging this ministry. Our television studio is completed, thank God. And I'll just be honest, folks, donations were, in the month of August, they could have been better, right? I'll just put it like that. We had a lot of expenses in the month of August, but God got us through, and we were able to get the lighting and everything that we needed.
Right.
But you know, it was a tough month, but we got through it, and everything was paid for. But folks, we are building God's news network, and you need it. The body of Christ needs it. You need a Holy Ghost anointed news network that is exposing the works of darkness.
Yes.
And uplifting and encouraging the body of Christ so that you are not walking in darkness, but your path is being illuminated, because we are surrounded by lies and deceptions. I said the other day in a staff meeting, in a world of lies, truth is radical.
Yes. Got picked up on Twitter. It's all on Facebook, and it's going all over the place. Yes. So.
Yeah. In a world of lies, truth is radical. And so people call us radical, but we're only perceived as radical because we're telling truth.
Right.
And truth appears to be radical because the world is saturated with lies and deception.
And it's so much easier than lying, right? Right, Fiora? Just writing down facts, using logic, I mean, analysis. This is the core of journalism.
Yeah. Mark Twain used to say, if you just tell the truth, you don't have to remember your lies.
And there's hardly any competition.
Yeah. Right. Hey, I hadn't thought about that before. It's wide open.
Oh, I have. It's wide open. There's hardly any competition to tell the truth. A guy like me can make it. Just telling the truth. It sounds so, you know, astounding that
revolutionary.
Yes. We're simply telling the truth. Well, I want to wrap it up with the final comments about candidates. Two minor party candidates, Libertarian Party nominee Gary Johnson and Green Party candidate Jill Stein, were not included in last night's candidate forum hosted by NBC. Mr. Johnson, however, managed to make international news headlines today by displaying his ignorance of important international affairs. The former Republican governor of New Mexico was interviewed on SMBC's Morning Joe television program. He was asked about the situation in Aleppo, the ancient Syrian city that has been destroyed by the U.S.-backed ISIS jihadists and the Russian bombing to crush the ISIS stranglehold on the city. Here is the reply from Libertarian Party nominee Gary Johnson.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
You're kidding.
No.
Aleppo is in Syria. It's the epicenter of the refugee crisis.
Okay, got it. Got it.
Okay.
So let me get this straight. Former governor who's running for president didn't know what Aleppo was?
Didn't know. He had no idea. Let's listen again. This is the reply of the Libertarian Party nominee for president, Gary Johnson, whom a lot of conservatives are voting for him. They're planning to vote for him because they want to protest Donald Trump. A lot of people that were supporters of Ted Cruz have gone over to Gary Johnson. A lot of dissatisfied Republicans are voting for the Libertarian candidate, Gary Johnson. When he was asked on the MSNBC show by Mike Barnicle, mm-hmm. What will you do about Aleppo? This is what Gary Johnson said.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
Governor Johnson, I'll educate you about Aleppo. Aleppo is an ancient Middle Eastern metropolis. It is one of the oldest continuously inhabited cities in the world. Aleppo was located at one end of the ancient China's Silk Road that passed through Asia and Mesopotamia. You should know this, since China is presently spending trillions of dollars rebuilding the Silk Road.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
Governor Johnson, Aleppo is the citadel of Christianity in Syria. Christianity was introduced to Syria by the apostles. Some of the greatest church fathers from the Aleppo region were church bishops: Eustatius, Meletius, Anatolius, and Theodotus, a friend of Basil the Great.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
Governor Johnson, Aleppo is the cradle of present-day Syrian Christianity. Many of the Syrian Christians speak Aramaic, the language spoken on earth by Jesus Christ. Aleppo is the home to many Oriental Orthodox church congregations, and it is the home of the Holy Apostolic Catholic Assyrian Church of the East, the ancient church established by Apostles Thomas, Thaddeus, and Bartholomew.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
Governor Johnson, Aleppo was until recently a booming metropolis of over 2.5 million Syrian people. The city has been destroyed by the CIA-trained and armed ISIS jihadists supported by the USA, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey. ISIS jihadists armed by America have crucified Christian pastors, beheaded Christian men and women, and cut Christian children into pieces with Islamic swords. Since the Battle of Aleppo started in 2012, the city has been turned into a pile of rubble thanks to Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry. The ancient churches have been destroyed. Most of the Christian population has fled. Many are dead. Hundreds of thousands are living in refugee camps. The Obama, Clinton, Kerry madness has produced death, misery, suffering, persecution, and destruction. Governor Johnson, Aleppo is the poster child of American foreign policy under Obama, Clinton, and Kerry. The city has been obliterated by genocide perpetrated on the Christians by the Muslim murderers trained and armed by the CIA, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey. The Russian military is there to liberate the city of Aleppo from the American-backed ISIS jihadists. You want to be president of the United States, and you don't even know about Aleppo. Go back home to New Mexico, get an education before you put your name on the ballot. A person as uninformed as you should not be taken seriously as a candidate for president. I'm Rick Wiles. You've been listening to True News. We'll see you tomorrow.